Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I am honored and privileged to have this guest on. Her name is Tiss Aiken. She is my astrologer and also a friend. She's coming on to explain some basic concepts of astrology and the current trends that are going on. She is great at explaining all that stuff. So, Tish, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, despite Mercury in retrograde, which maybe we'll get into tonight. I don't know. I swear to God.
Are you feeling that at all?
Well, not really. It's actually not been a bad retrograde for me. I mean, sometimes, you know, I got to hide the electronics or not throw them through the window, but that's about it.
Right. I know. I already had some glitches, but I worked it out a little bit. But, yeah, some are worse than others, you know. But in this case, it's actually the first time of the year that we've had retrogrades because we started off the year with all the planets direct up until March 8th, and then Jupiter stationed retrograde, which is how we expand, and Mercury went retrograde. trying to think when it actually happened. March 22nd, and it goes direct again on April 15th. So, you know, maybe it's a good time for all of us to reflect a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and clean out closets. I have company coming in from out of town, so I thought, well,
yeah.
I moved in my place, as you're aware of, in December. You know, I had to move. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just, like, cleaning all this stuff. The garbage men are going to love me the next couple of days, you know, and they're going to
move. Oh, gosh.
So Tish, I wanted to get into the basics of astrology. You're really good at explaining the basics to people. And, you know, like I said, I've called you up and, you know, I'm like, what the hell's going on? You're like, okay, let's look at this. Why would mm-hmm. people come to you for an astrology reading, basically? What do they need from that? What do you need from the client or potential client when they come to you for an astrology reading? And why would they do that?
Okay, so basically, I think astrology is all about timing, and it's a tool for us to use, for people to use, to, I feel, to co-create with. So, you know, what I need from a client is their birth information. I need their birthday, their year, their time and place if they know it. Sometimes clients don't know their time of birth. And then there's a way of, you know, my looking at it, but it really makes it more specific if they do know their time of birth. And then from there, I can see the cycles and trends they're in, you know, around career and love and personal goals. And you know, it can show me, you know, what's going on in their lives, you know, in terms of I can give dates and time frames for, you know, active cycles for, you know, in which they can maximize good opportunities, or if they're dealing with more challenging cycles, knowing when that's happening, knowing when it's going to alleviate and end, and what they can do to make the most of that. Because I think, you know, we need to learn from difficult, and we also need to hopefully capitalize the lucky cycles, you know.
And that's so true, because I went through a horrific Saturn cycle when I first started talking to you, I mean, 10 billion mm-hmm. years ago, and you're just like, just get through it, and you got me through it, thank God. But Saturn, mm-hmm. what is Saturn? Why do we,
let's go into the basics. Like I said, maybe I'm jumping
sure.
around. But what does Saturn, the planet, do for us besides kick our asses sometimes?
Well, I think you just described it very well. But I think it's interesting because Saturn is currently in Capricorn in its home sign, which it hasn't been for 30 years. Saturn is a planet of karma, and it's a planet of lessons. So it's where each of us is learning his or her, you know, lessons, or it also makes us aware of our limitations. But it's really about karmic lessons. Sometimes there's a bit more than, sometimes it's things that we've done, actions that we have or have not taken in our lives. And Saturn mm-hmm. is kind of like the judgment card in Tarot. It makes us deal with something. It makes us face something. But sometimes it might be a little bit more karmic than just something we have done. And it's a way of, I think, structuring our lives, too, because it's very much about work and responsibility. So often in Saturn cycles, it may challenge somebody or kick their ass, like you said. But it also, if a person's been working really hard, I often find a client will get a bonus or a raise or a promotion or something. You know, it's also really, to me, it represents achievement. You know, and it's being in the sign of Capricorn, you know, the next few years is a big, big deal because it really, for all of us collectively, it's about facing karma and actions. And Saturn rules time as well, you know. But it's very much about, I think, karmic lessons.
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah. I remember when my dad mm-hmm. passed away and I had called you up
yeah.
and it was, I think you said I was starting a new cycle because of the day of his death or something. It was really weird, and I was like, what the hell is he talking about? But
mm-hmm.
I had started a new, I don't know, Saturn, what, 29 years, is it?
Its orbit is approximately 29. You got it. Yeah, and I think at the time, wasn't Saturn in Scorpio at that time?
Yes, it was. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which is cosmic therapy for all of us, but particularly if people have planets or angles in Scorpio, you know, it makes it even more so. But that was, that was a big time for you. And yet also, you know, in your bringing that up, Saturn can bring up the past. As I mentioned, it represents time. And so in a way, when one is going through a heavy Saturn cycle, and for you when your father died, it helped you, in a sense, from what I got from talking to you, to reconcile things that happened in the past or brought up things from the past, right? That maybe,
yes.
you know, one returns to so that he or she can clean it up in a way.
Right. Let's talk about Saturn returns. When do we go through them, and why do we go through them, and why can't we just not go through them? Never mind, it was horrible.
I don't know why we can't go through them, but I do know that, so you mentioned 29.
Yes.
Saturn, you know, it's not an exact number, but it begins about 28 and a half, 29 years. So I rounded up to 29, and so our first Saturn return happens at that age. But, you know, because Saturn's not an exact number, astrologers describe the number 7. It's a very fundamental number. So Saturn stages. So, you know, in our development at the age of 7, we have our first Saturn square. And they say that, you know, at the age of 7, we're aware of what's right and wrong, you know, that we really start to grasp that. And at the age of 14, we have our first Saturn opposition. And this means in relation to where Saturn was when we were born. And that's often when people, well, it's changing now, but often when, you know, well, when people enter high school and when they're going through adolescence, and there can be, you know, it's an awkward stage, but it's kind of also a type of development. 21, well, that's when you can vote. That's when a lot of people graduate from college. It's a time of becoming an adult, I guess. But the Saturn return, to me, is really when people become an adult. That's, you know, again, it begins around the age of 28 and it completes around the age of 30. That's the first Saturn return. And then we have our second one around the age of 56, 57. And The Saturn return is, you know, you're still young. You know, I think 28 to 30 is still very young, in my opinion, but you're no longer a kid. And it's, you know, it's really, I think, about growing up, because Saturn is about maturation and maturing and growing. And often when people are going through their Saturn returns, you know, they may take on a new responsibility. If they're not doing what they're meant to do in their lives, Saturn is the cosmic taskmaster, and you know, Saturn will, you know, will reprimand you if you're not doing what you're meant to be doing in your life. And so, you know, I find a lot of people go through major life changes during their Saturn return. They can become a parent. They can lose a parent. They, if they're not doing what they're meant to be doing in their career, they may have trouble. You know, they may lose a job. Or if they're doing what they're meant to be doing, you know, they could take on a huge new responsibility. But it's definitely where, you know, you're having to face some big things, and then, you know, later on in life, you know, Saturn, out of all the planetary cycles, I think there are themes that repeat themselves. So, you know, when people have their second Saturn return, they're in a different place in their lives, but certain trends may repeat from that last Saturn return. So I think it's really about growing, you know, and I think it's, you know, it gets a bad rep, but I think that it actually can really help to ground people.
Well, yeah. Well, Capricorn, its home sign is an earth sign, so yeah, it would ground me anytime,
because
I'm Pisces. I'm way out there sometimes. I know you don't think I am when you read my chart, but I feel I am. But
No, I don't think you are.
I'm like, I'm out there. She's like, no, you're not. Yeah, because I remember my Saturn return. I think I went back to school. Or I was going back to school, something like that. I remember. And then I graduated from school.
Yeah, it's, and do you know offhand, because I don't have your chart in front of me, I can look at it, do you know offhand what house your Saturn falls in?
No, I don't. I don't remember. I think I try to block Saturn out. That's why I said, why do I have to go through this? But no. But I remember going back to school, and I moved back home, too. And it was
so
like
you.
Yeah, it was like, I had to face, if I remember correctly, I had to face my my family, my familial dysfunction. That's what I remember. Moving back home. I started recovery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I started
recovery. So it was a big thing, and it was bringing you back to your roots to also to deal with things that obviously had not been reconciled in your life, and also you were taking on more responsibility. You went back to school, so you were taking responsibility on to structure your goals, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, that's what it was. And I just remember doing like degrees and all that stuff. But, yeah, I was kicking my ass. And I don't think my Saturn return hit me until I was at least 29, because someone had said, one of my astrologer friends said it was late. So I was like a year later or something. So, yeah, but that's an example of kicking your ass and like, yeah, get that.
Well, and and in my case, I can say, and it was very literal, and I think it depends for people what house Saturn falls in. For me, it falls in an angular house, which other more action related, and my Saturn falls in the fourth house, which is home and family, and my mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer on the very day that my Saturn return was exact, so that was really exact and literal, you know, but it really, that obviously changed my life, and I, you know, and it made me grow up a lot, too. I was an only child, and my dad had died a few years prior, so it really was about family and learning lessons about that, and I guess about being my own family, in a sense.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, no, yeah, so Saturn returns, that'll kick anybody's ass. And let's go into more optimistic planets like Jupiter, which we're both, I have, we'll get into the rising signs in a minute, but let's talk about Jupiter in Scorpio, which is a cool cycle to be in if you're got Scorpio in your chart.
Which you and I do.
Yes.
So maybe we're more partial, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think with Jupiter and Scorpio, so, you know, Jupiter is the luckiest planet, And in contrast to Saturn, Saturn is about limitations and restrictions, and we learn how to work with those in order to build ourselves. Jupiter is the opposite. It's the biggest planet, and it represents expansion. It represents higher learning. It represents good fortune, opportunity. It opens doors. You have Scorpio rising, and I'm a Scorpio sun, which is why you and I are very happy that Jupiter is currently in Scorpio. But, you know, Jupiter in Scorpio is maybe not the best placement of Jupiter, but there's no negative, in my opinion. Jupiter is, you know, whatever sign it's in, it's helping to open doors and manifest opportunities for that sign and for anybody, you know, in that area of their chart. But in Scorpio, Scorpio is a sign of wounds and of healing and transformation. So, you know, you were mentioning Saturn before this. Saturn was in Scorpio from 2012 until 2015. And I just said before it was like cosmic therapy. Now, Jupiter, which is the luckiest planet, is in the sign of Scorpio. So it can defer back to that time for all of us if there's some things that weren't finished up or, you know, there were big things that came up in our lives. And now Jupiter can open the door or, you know, can manifest healing and transformation. Scorpio is a sign of joint resources and finances, so it can be good financially. It can be good for, I think, for healing, maybe not as much in a painful way as Saturn and Scorpio. It might be a little more, you know, of a fluid process, but I think it's a good time for people to really, you know, to enter therapy, and I think also it can be good financially. But I like Jupiter and Scorpio. I think I'm partial, but I think it can be very magnetic, you know.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about the sun sign. That's the day you were born. What is the difference between a sun sign, your moon sign, your moon, and your rising or your sun in it? So explain that to people a little bit. What's the difference?
Sure. So the sun is, like you mentioned, the day that you're born. So, you know, each month, I think most people are familiar with what their sun sign is, even if they don't know too much about astrology. The rising sign is determined by the time you were born. So that's why, with clients, I like to know their time of birth, because then it really gets specific in terms of where, you know, there are 12 houses to the chart, and the rising sign begins the chart. That's known as the ascendant, otherwise known as the ascendant, and that's how the world sees you. So you may be, the sun represents your path and your ego. So I'm going to give you as an example, is that okay or no?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you're a Pisces sun. You know, you mentioned that before. So, you know, the sun in Pisces is about, I think it you know, is about helping others. You know, it deals with health on some level, whether it's physical health or mental health. It's a mutable water sign. It's very creative, very intuitive, and psychic. And so I think the path with Pisces is about imagination, because Pisces does rule imagination, and about helping other people. The rising sign is how others see you. Well, Scorpio is also a sign of healing, you know, but it's a very shrewd sign. It's a little more, it's a very intense sign. And so, and it's very penetrating and I think perceptive, you know. And with Scorpio ascendant, you know, it also is a water sign, but it's a fixed water sign. It's more stubborn than maybe Pisces is, but it's ruled by the planet Pluto. So the rising sign would be how others see you. And it can influence the personality. Now, those are both water signs, but pretend you had Leo rising, for instance. That would be different, because Leo is a fire sign. It's very, it sometimes wants a lot of attention. It's a lot of charisma. I think of Scorpio and Pisces as a little more, Pisces might be in particular more behind the scenes, but Scorpio is a bit inscrutable, you know. So you could have a sun sign that's very different than one's rising sign. So it'll just give a different flavor of how, you know, you'll definitely come off, and both will influence your personality. But if you have a very different rising sign, so when people say, oh, this is my sun sign, and I don't really feel like that sign very much. Well, they may only have one planet in that sign, and they may have many planets in another sign or their rising sign, and so that's why there are a lot of facets to the chart. And the moon sign is determined by the day, you know, the day we're born. It also is, you know, the time. But, you know, if you don't know the time of birth, if, for instance, today, well, what is the moon in today? I don't even know. It's in Scorpio. There you go.
Oh, is it?
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, we had the full moon in Libra over the weekend. You're right. And now the moon's in Scorpio. So pretend somebody born today, we don't know the time of birth. We can say we would be able to see that their moon is in Scorpio. But if we know the time of birth, we'll know the exact degree. The moon represents how you get your needs met, how you sometimes relate to others, but it really is how you get your needs met. And the moon in Scorpio, where it is right now, is a bit of a difficult moon because the moon is exalted in the sign of Taurus, and it's in its fall in the sign of Scorpio. So it's a little bit of a wounded moon. Moon and Scorpio, but that's for each of us, you know, the moon. So all three of them, you know, the sun sign, the rising sign, and the moon are important in determining the chart, you know, I think. But there's a lot more than that as well. It's where your planet of relationships is, you know, Venus. It's where your planet of communication, Mercury. Where do these planets fall? Are they conjunct? Are they, you know, on an angle? There, you know, there's a lot to it. It's a whole roadmap to one's life, I think.
I think so too, and that's why I wanted to explain people, you know, what that was all about. Because sometimes if I'm doing a reading with somebody, you're right, I can sense. I'm like, no, you're not really a Libra. You know,
mm-hmm.
You act more like a Sagittarian or whatever. Like, I have a moon in Leo.
Right.
That's where my moon
mm-hmm.
is. And people think I'm very fiery because I have a lot of fire in my chart and a lot of air, and I only have two planets and some water, which is my rising and my sun. So it's quite interesting.
It is. You know, although I think those are, among the strongest is the sun and the ascendant, but you're right, because your moon in Leo, it's not just that your moon's in Leo, but and now I am looking at your chart because I brought it up while we're talking, it's the most exalted point, or not most elevated, rather, most elevated point of your chart. So the world's also going to see you. And not to get too complicated with the viewers, but the midheaven. So there are 12, you know, if you look at a chart, it looks like a pizza pie, right? And it's divided in 12 slices. Or 12, you know, yeah, there are 12 houses, there are 12 slices. So, you know, there are four major houses. The ascendant begins the first house, and that's the house of self, identity, and ego. And I'm just going to mention a few of them because it's too long. But the bottom of the chart is the fourth house, which is home and family. That would be the Cancer house of astrology, you know, how you get your needs met, kind of like the moon, you know, because Cancer is ruled by the moon, the sign of Cancer. The first house is your identity and your ego, and that's the Aries house, pardon me, in astrology. The seventh house is the Libra house. That's a house of partnerships and relationships. And then the top of the chart is the midheaven, which is the 10th house, the house of career, public status, and public honors. And your moon in Leo is right up at the top there. So, you know, I think that, you know, I said that others see us as the rising sign, and that's very true. But the midheaven is our public image. So I think both can show how we're seen in the world. So I can definitely see where people would see the fiery element of you, you know, and part of you in a good way.
In a good way, but I'm not a ham, okay? I don't like pictures. So that's all I can say.
You're not a ham?
No. I don't like to go on Instagram. I mean Instaham. And I have a sense of humor, too, so. I forget about all this stuff. I got my natal chart up here too. It's kind of you were asking me what my Saturn was in. It's the
eighth house, which is a difficult placement. So you and I both have difficult Saturns because mine's in the fourth and yours is in the eighth. And the eighth house in astrology is, in sun sign astrology, is the Scorpio house. So, you know, we were talking about Saturn in Scorpio earlier and how it was cosmic therapy for all of us. Now, your Saturn is not in the sign of Scorpio, but because it falls in the eighth house, it's going to have components of it, you know, like that. And I think with Saturn in Scorpio or Saturn in the eighth house, there can be intimacy issues. There can be, there definitely, they say the fourth house, the eighth house, and the 12th house are the most difficult placements of Saturn. And those are all the water signs. The fourth is Cancer, the eighth is Scorpio, and the 12th house is Pisces. And I think they're very emotional signs. And Saturn there, it's a difficult placement. But, you know, it's also part of why you do the work you do, because even though you may not feel the water part of your sign or your chart, it's about healing and intuition, and I think being drawn to therapy, and I think all of those signs deal with that, particularly Scorpio and Pisces, I think.
Oh, yeah, and God knows I've had enough of it. You know, I probably bought my therapist's houses or something. Who knows?
Yeah, me too. But that's a good thing, because it makes you also more aware in your own work. And I think most healers are, you know, there's something, Chiron is the wounded healer, you know, mm-hmm. of the chart. And I think the best healers are people that are drawn to work like you and I are drawn to. I think we go into it for a reason, you know.
Oh, yeah. Usually die to find out why we're psychotic or we're psychic or both. I mean,
yeah,
we have figured out families. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. We've had discussions. I remember.
Yes. No, I know you are. I know you are.
Let's talk a little bit about, you were mentioning some of the houses. Let's go into some of the trends that have been going on. This year has been kind of, easier than last year. Last year kicked my ass out of the ballpark. But let's talk about the trends going on over the next couple of months so that people are aware of, to be, you know, especially with this Aries energy. I've noticed people want to just shoot each other. I don't know. It's like a very combative energy. At least that's how
yes.
I feel.
Yes. I think it's important again to mention Saturn, because Saturn just changed signs at the very end of last year and entered the sign of Capricorn, which is the sign it rules. And it's going to be there for the next few years, and it's an earth sign. And it's about getting practical, getting real. And I think with Saturn in Capricorn, you know, it really, you know, well, Capricorn rules big business, it rules government, I think it's going to be a big deal, and we're leading up to some, in 2020, we're going to have three planets in Capricorn, Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter. That's going to be pretty intense, so we're all kind of building up to that, but that was one big change, you know, planetary-wise. And in the month of May, we're having another big cycle that Uranus, which is the great awakener of the chart, is entering the sign of Taurus, which is also an earth sign, and it hasn't been in Taurus for 84 years. So that's a big deal, because Taurus deals with natural resources, it deals with banking. We're already talking about cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, and all of that. And Uranus deals with social media and the internet. And, you know, there have been all these things with Facebook recently and potential boycotts and all this stuff and people wanting to log off more or, you know, and, you know, Taurus is very much a sign of nature. So I think that maybe people are going to, there are probably going to be a lot of changes in the platforms and social media. The next, you know, it'll be in Taurus for about the next 7 years approximately. But it's going to go back and forth. Between the early degrees of Taurus, it'll reach 2 degrees, and then it's going to go back to the late degrees of Aries. But just, you know, to bring up the Aries point, Uranus right now is at 27 degrees of Aries. There are 30 degrees to a sign, so it's almost getting to the very end. And, pardon me, yes, people are definitely looking for a fight. And we went from, you know, earlier in the winter, we had about five planets in Pisces, which is very different energy. You know, it's very emotional. When there are a lot of planets in Pisces, people feel it's very hard to navigate. They feel very lost. They can feel directionless. They can want to escape. It can be highly creative and imaginative, right? But now we have three planets in Aries. Up until Saturday had four planets in Aries. Now yes, the energy is more combative. Mars rules Aries, and Mars right now is out of balance, which means it's not playing by the rules. And so people are very charged up. But what I would say, the good part of it is that we have a lot of cardinal energy right now. And cardinal means it's action-oriented. It gets things going. It launches things. And so we have three planets currently transiting in Capricorn. Today, and you and I talked about this a couple of days ago, but Saturn and Mars met up today in Capricorn. And so I think the last week or the last few weeks, they've been building up together. So people have felt very held back because Saturn is restrictive and Mars is about taking action. And in Capricorn, it's exalted. It really wants to excel. So people have felt this Aries, wanting to, being very fiery, but yet feeling held back, feeling very frustrated. So it's a difficult dynamic. And Mercury is retrograde, like you mentioned earlier, in Aries, and people are not really thinking before they speak. And retrogrades are always kind of a bit confusing. But, later in the week, we're going to have Mercury squaring Mars, which is, the god of war. So I think people need to just be careful of, being impulsive, being careful on the road, but also, with how you use words, because Mercury in Aries can be pretty sharp, and you just don't want to, it can be very quick, and it can be really, fast thinking, which is a good thing, but, you don't want to say something rash and then regret it, right? So
mm-hmm.
I think we all need to think about that right now.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'm like... I'm afraid to go out of the house and drive because I live in Florida with old people and they're already out. Second of all, you got this energy going on and you don't want to get into an accident.
Yeah. No.
<I'm hiding. laughs> Don't forget, I live
you
in Florida.
You do not.
Well, let's talk a little bit. I'm not trying to jump around. So we've got some interesting energies going on here. Can I ask a political question, if we want to? Can we do that?
Sure.
Is the current 45 person still going to be in office in 2020?
In 2020?
Yeah. Or is he going to be dismantled before?
I wouldn't think he's going to be in office in 2020, just because of a lot of the cycles going on, and because he got hit specifically by the eclipses. So the last eclipse, the last eclipse series we had was last summer, and everybody was discussing the Great American Eclipse. And that eclipse was on August 21st, and it was is at a degree in astrology known as the Royal Fixed Star, which is known as Regulus. And it was at 28 degrees of Leo, and that's his rising sign. That's his ascendant. You can see that he is Leo rising, probably, right? He does seem to like a little attention. So, and then the second eclipse, so we had two eclipses because they always come in pairs, but the second eclipse was in February, and that was at 27 degrees Aquarius, which is the opposite sign. And, with eclipses, we pick up where we left off. Well, if you look at the eclipse at the end of August, right after that was when we were having all those natural disasters, right? We had we had Puerto Rico, we had Florida, I don't think where you were, right? But all those areas, it was a pretty horrific time,
Yeah, and it missed me. Irma missed me because I'm in Tampa area, so missed us. Quite
thank God,
yeah.
But it was pretty, and it was, and so the United States moon is 27 degrees of Aquarius, so it opposed, that one was opposite the U.S. moon, and that was pretty tumultuous. And now this eclipse in February, and eclipses, the energy can linger a little while after. So it was on February 15th this year. Well, after that, that would have been, so if he has Leo rising, the opposite house is the seventh house of relationships. That's 27 degrees or 28, I think his ascendant is. So 28 degrees Aquarius, that eclipse fell at his house of relationships. Well, a lot of people have been leaving his cabinet, and then this whole thing, well, I know there have been a lot of things with women, but that whole thing with the interview with Stormy Daniels and all of that's come out. So there have been a lot of things coming up. I don't foresee his being president in 2020. I don't know. I mean, but I think a lot of things have been rocking the boat, and I just think also the fact that Saturn's in Capricorn, which rules government, you know, there are going to be some things coming up. But so I think it's a little rocky, you know.
Yeah, it is. I was just asking out of curiosity. Yeah, just curious. I know
yeah.
he's got a year, a lot of Uranus in his chart, and I know he is a Uranus. But anyway, I'm really not too keen on the guy.
Yeah, well, he also has Mercury out of bounds, and he's a Gemini, and Mercury
yeah,
rules
yeah.
the sign of Gemini. And so when you have a planet out of bounds, it doesn't play by the rules. And Mercury communication, well, you know, think of his tweets. You know, he really goes out there with what he says, right?
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just like, I'm afraid to watch the news because he's going to tweet me or something. Anyway.
Yeah. He'll tweet us after. So, but yeah.
Yeah, that would make us both famous then, because we peep.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I get goofy around this time. And you, so different charts people can do. Let's go into that a little bit. So a natal chart is when you're born. What's a chart we could use today? So people will call you up and say, Tish, you know, I'm dealing with this combative boss who's an Aries. How would you advise them? What kind of chart would you do for them?
Well, I would look at a bi-wheel, you know, of what's going on. I use the natal chart. I always use that as in the center, you know. And then I look at where all the planets are lined up right now, and I would see how is the Saturn Mars conjunction hitting them today. I would see what planets are hitting their chart. Are they going through a major Saturn cycle? You know, are they going through a Neptune cycle? Neptune, we didn't bring that one up. That's I think is.
Yeah, let's talk about
a difficult
that after
one.
So
I'll see how the planets line up with their natal planets. So, you know, your chart, your natal chart that's always the same. That's not going to change. As you get older, your planets are going to progress. There is a progress chart. So I'll do actually a tri-wheel, but not to get confusing. So I'll put that in the, you know, it's kind of like I look at three different, it's like a wheel with the natal chart in the center. Then there's the progress chart around it. And then on the third wheel will be, you know, where the current planets are in the sky. And I see if they're hitting any of those planets. And then I'll know, oh, Amy's going through a Pluto cycle, or she's going through a Neptune cycle or whatever. Or Jupiter's right there in her first house, opening doors and bringing opportunities, whatever it might be.
Right. Oh, yeah, Neptune cycles. Let's talk about that, because the last couple of years I've called you about that. I'm like, what the fuck? Excuse my language, what the hell?
You, yeah, well, you've got Neptune on your sun right now. So it's you know, Neptune can do two things. It can be, you know, and you look at people that are born with, or I look at charts with heavy Neptune. You know, Neptune is the higher octave of Venus, and, you know, it can be, you know, it can be selfless, it can be ascetic, where you're really, you know, the person, you know, does things to help, you know, it's really, you know, selfless love or really trying to help people. But it also can be the con, it can be, you know, the criminal, it can be deceptive, it can be lies, you know, it depends. If it's every planet sign has a higher and lower form, it depends on how that person uses the energy. But when one is going through a Neptune cycle, it will heighten sensitivity. It can definitely make a person more tired, because Neptune and the sign of Pisces both deal with, they both rule sleep and dreams. A lot of messages come through dreams, you know, it can drain one's energy. And it can also, I think a person has to be careful when he or she is in a Neptune cycle of potentially being deceived Or, you know, it may not be, it may be more innocent. It may just be that things aren't as they seem, or people are not communicating clearly, or, you know, things like that. It can fog one's vision. And yet it also can be extremely inspiring and imaginative, and it can be a great time to manifest and really work with your dreams. So I think it's, again, how we choose to co-create with this stuff, because, you know, we can choose to say, oh, Neptune, I just can't deal. I want to, you know, play the victim thing. You know, I can't get out of this. Or, you know, one could just try to, you know, regroup a bit and you know, do creative work and try to do manifesting and try to do good things for people, others, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was ready to smoke something over the last couple of years because of the Neptune cycle. And I don't smoke, but I was ready to. I was like, if I don't call Tish, man, I'm screwed. Serious. You know, I call you up because, you know, I've had questionable dealings with certain people, as you're well aware of, and so you're like,
yeah.
Oh,
and that often, I think that 95% of the time happens, I find, when people are going through Neptune cycles. It doesn't mean they're going to get screwed. You know, it doesn't mean it has to be terrible. But and I don't want to instill that a person has to feel paranoid during it, and you're not feeling paranoid, but you realize that, I mean, you've seen it, and I went through Neptune a few years ago. It just kind of, it happens, or something's not as it seems, you know. But also, I think, and you can tell me, because you've been in it for, well, the last year or so, it's been strong on your son, and you dealt with a Neptune cycle before. Do you think it's been very creative for you? What's the good part of it, do you think?
Yeah, creative. I also feel like I can write more, because I'm a writer, so.
Mm-hmm.
I love to write. I blog more. I'll write. Like, I had two more book ideas. I'm just like, gotta freaking do it. I gotta get the action going. So let's go, Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use a Leo here. So yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is very creative. But yeah, Neptune is definitely interesting, and it's a good. It is. You can. That's what I'm saying. When somebody calls you up, you can point out the good and the bad about the cycle and how to work with it. And that's why I think you need an astrologer in your life like you. You know, you can call people. People can call you up and say, "Hey, Tish, I'm ready to shoot somebody today. What's going on?" Which I've called you many times before.
But you never said that.
Well, not yet. Next time I call you, I will. I'm ready to shoot my neighbor. No, I'm not. Actually, he's all right. Yeah,
and you know the other thing, and I do this too. I'll look, you know, in my ephemeris, which is, you know, will tell me where the planets are lined up, and you know, I'll, you know, one thing. So Mercury retrograde, you know, we don't. You try to avoid signing contracts or launching something new if you can, you know, during Mercury retrograde. I'm glad I didn't know about it when I was. I didn't use it this. Oh, gosh, I wasn't as serious about it like in high school or college, because I would probably freak out if, you know, during exams or during, you know, times that it wouldn't be ideal to do something. But, you know, if there's another thing that you look at is if the moon is void, and that happens, you know, every few days, you know, the moon might be void for a few hours, which means it doesn't make an aspect. So if somebody calls me up and says, oh, I need to call a client or I need to pitch an idea, sometimes they'll ask me to choose a good date. So I'll say, oh, gosh, well, Venus is conjunct Jupiter that day, which are the two lucky planets, so that might be a good day. Or they want to do something at 2 p.m. and the moon is void with a bad aspect. I'll say, wait till, you know, the moon changes signs and then it's no longer void, you know, so, or I pick a better aspect. So it can be really good for targeting, you know, dates to do something, and I think that's a helpful way. Now, aside from knowing what you're going through, that's, again, that way of picking, like, oh, you know, I want to pitch an idea, or I want to, you know, meet this person, or I want to go on a date, whatever it might be. Astrology could be really good at that, I think, helping with that.
Well, we have never really focused on my love life, so I've been more about work. So maybe I will ask you later this year, what's a good Venus cycle?
Yeah, why not, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's an example too. Like, when is it good to meet the right person? And you'll always give me like a date range or a couple dates or, you know, a time span or whatever to look at. I think it's funny. But.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Did you worry about your love life? No. Why? I'm done with it right now. I'm just more worried about
my
career.
You've been very focused on your career, too, you know, and you've had a lot of big things happening. So that's been a big focus. But I would think that a lot of things are opening up with Jupiter in your first house. That opens up. That's comprehensive of, I think, your whole chart, really. So I don't think that precludes your love life, you know. It's just that you're very focused right now. But there's a lot of exciting things happening, you know.
Yeah, and we've talked about, it's like also when I was trying to buy the house last year, you're like, I don't know. It doesn't look
well, that's Neptune, yeah. I said, okay, yep, and that's, you don't want to, I think when Neptune, and it happens to be in your house of real estate, so I think that would really be, you know, because if it's not as it appears, you don't want to make a home purchase, right? So I think that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. When am I out of this Neptune cycle, by the way, again? Please give me some hope.
It's not too far off, and you've got a lot of good things in the interim, too, working with it. I think you're going to be out of it by the end of this year. Does it come back? Well, you're dealing with it briefly at the end of 19, but it's not going to be for much. You're getting through the most of it this year, I think, and then you have a brief return of it at the end of 19.
Oh, God. Oh, I need a smoke.
But it's the creativity that you get, you know, that's what you should focus on with it, which I think is
good. I know. I just laugh because I'm like, oh, my God. And what is it called, a solar return chart? What is that?
Yeah. The sun. So every year, you know, on our birthday is when the sun returns to its natal position when you were born. So that the solar return will be when the sun reaches the exact degree as it was when you were born. And then, you know, you look at what the planets are in the sky that day, and you do a chart for that, you know, minute that, you know, the sun returns to that very degree. And that gives a snapshot of the next year, you know. And it also embodies the transits one is going through. So if I were to do a solar return on you, which I'm not doing at the moment, but that Neptune energy would be there. So we would know that this is, you know, reflective of the fact that you are going through a Neptune cycle on and off this year and such. But I don't work with solar returns as much as I used to because I think that you know, there are two different methods, and I'm not going to get complicated on this, but so there's precessed and non-precessed, which means that they can have two different rising signs. You're still going to, you know, encapsulate what the cycles are. That's going to be there. What your major transits are going to be in that solar return. But because they can fall, the planets can fall in different houses, I just think it gets kind of... I used to be much more into them, but a lot of astrologers work with them. I think it's all, you know, what the toolbox is for that astrologer, you know. And so I look at mine briefly, and then I never look at it again, and I forget what it. I don't even know what my solar return was now. If I think about it, you know.
I just like to call you and say, what's going on now? And you're, which what they would call the gross chart. What's going on? And you're like, okay, I'm going to smack you before. I read for you. What's another thing, I love what you do too, is sometimes you will use the tarot in conjunction with the chart. How do you do that? I think it's awesome when you've done that. You've been on, well, you're spot on anyway with astrology, but sometimes you want to go in deeper when you use the tarot.
I think it's exactly it. I want to go in deeper, and sometimes I just do it in tandem. I'll just pull some cards, and you know, with some people, they'll just, you know, call me up for tarot readings, and I do, and they'll ask me specific questions, which I would, for me with tarot, I work best that way, you know, just when they have a specific question. But with the astrology, I'll look at the chart, and then if I just want to expound on it, I'll pull some cards to just give me more of an idea of what's going on, and it just kind of, I just do it that way, I guess, you know, and I love the combination.
Yeah, you work very good at that, too, on the few things.
Oh, thank you.
You know, doing that, because we've had to look at other things. You know, you're one of Tish is one of a few advisors that I go to. I had trouble. I'm like, I'm calling you, her and someone else. And it's kind of like, it's the only way I do it. If the advisor needs the advisor, because you're right, you may be working with a cycle. Maybe you're feeling like my mojo's off or whatever, what the hell's going on. So, or like you said, pitching an idea. But astrology, I think, is people think, oh, it's, you know, it's a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. I don't, in my experience, I could not, as I've gotten older, I think I use it more. Why do you think that is?
Yeah.
Why do people want to use the astrology, you think, as they get older? Is it because you think they're becoming more aware of things, or is it just because where they're at?
I think, you know, it's funny. I've done a lot of readings at events and parties, and I've been where, you know, I have my tarot cards, and you know, you have to look at, I mean, now, you know, I use a computer, and I'll just, you know, click in the, I'll enter the birth information, and I bring up the chart. About 25 years ago, people would do it mathematically by hand, and they wouldn't be able to just bring up the chart. It would take them about, well, with some of them, they got really good at it. It would take probably about 25 or 30 minutes. But basically, you know, I think people think, oh, you're looking at a computer. Is it something general? Or I don't know what they think. And they think it might be just like, oh, you're a Pisces, and you're just like doing sun sign astrology, what they're used to with newspapers. But I think if you get more acquainted with it and you realize that it really is, it just works. I think empirically, having looked at it for years, it's just, you know, it's not going to say, oh, you're meeting a guy named Joe at the grocery store, but it's going to say, oh, you're in a big love cycle, or you're in a cycle of, you know, purging some relationships that are no longer working in your life, whatever the person might be going through. And you learn that you're, again, you're working with it, and life is about cycles, and astrology is about cycles, and it's also about co-creating with it. And I think that's the important theme of it, like you do, like you're trying to figure out, why am I going through this, how can I kind of make sense of it, but also what's coming up for me to capitalize on and work with. And I think it's a tool. And I think, and there are things where people are like, oh, you know, I'll see a big financial cycle or a love cycle. They're like, oh, no, nothing is coming up. And they're like, yeah, you're right. This stuff was opening up for me. So I just think it really, to me, more than anything, and for me, I think it works really, really well. And I love it. I think astrology is something I'll be learning about the rest of my life. You know, it's an endless study.
It is, because a friend of mine mentioned Pluto lines. Do you know what Pluto lines are? Pluto, what the hell is that? Do you know what that is?
Were they talking about astrocartography? Like where it is?
Yes. Yeah, probably.
Okay,
yeah.
So they might have been picking, if you were looking at a location, it might be where Pluto. So I wouldn't necessarily, I had a friend, and she works on documentaries, and she wanted to go to Afghanistan, and which is hard enough, but she had a Pluto line there, and I was really against it. And she did go there a couple of years later, and there was a bombing at a hotel, and it happened to be, and I was watching on the news, I thought, oh, my friend couldn't be there. She actually was, but she it was okay. But basically, you know, Pluto lines, you want to be careful of being where a Pluto line is, I think. But it falls where it's a way of kind of mapping, and there's a relocation thing too. So you can, you know, you're in the same time zone from where you move, but some people might move to another country or another time zone, and you can see where the chart is. It's a relocation thing. But Pluto line, you might want to move to a Jupiter line rather than a Pluto line, I think. But Pluto's pretty intense.
Yeah, well, I think I'm near my Jupiter line, which is Pensacola. For love and money.
That's fantastic. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so I think that's where I'm at. But, yeah, she had mentioned that her relatives had gone to Rome, and they had passed away. They were older, and they had gone into carbon monoxide and died there. So I was kind of like, oh, man, I want to travel. Do I want to really go to Rome? I don't want to go near that Pluto line.
No, I would avoid Pluto lines. But, you know, there's some that can be kind of interesting. I travel to California a few times a year. I go to L.A. to see clients, and I have a Neptune line there. And, you know, I don't know if I lived there, if I were to live there, you know, it might not be the best because Neptune can be a little intangible. But for doing readings and going there, there's a lot of glamour. It's very good for my intuition, good for reading. So things like that can be kind of interesting when you travel. But Pluto might be more intense. But Jupiter, I think stay where the Jupiter line is. That sounds to me wonderful.
Well, and you do that too, right? You do those astrocartography charts? Or
yeah, I do. And I do, you know, relocation. So I'll, you know, bring up the person's chart, and then I'll enter, you know, so I would use your birthday and time and year, and then I would just, you know, default it to, you know, where you're living now and see what the chart brings up, you know, or, you know, again, you're in a similar time zone, but especially if you were to change time zones, I think it really, you know, can change it. So you could see, like, what if I were to live in, you know, London or wherever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know if I want to live in the rain for 24/7. But anyway, or going
not
to
when you're in Florida, probably not. But, you know, but I'm just giving an example. Yeah, or how about, you know, I don't know, somewhere warm and lovely, you know. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, someone told, and when I was living up in New York, you know, I moved from Buffalo, New York, down to here, she said to me, she was, she invited me to fairs and that, so she did my chart years ago, and she's like, you have to go, you stay in the western part of the state. She goes, that's where you're most successful. She's like, stay in the western part. And so when I moved down to Tampa on the Gulf side of the state, I was like, oh, this is what she meant. Okay, and she's like, yeah, Pensacola is where your love and money line is. Oh, okay. The closer you are to that, the better off you're going to be. I'm like, okay.
Oh, definitely. I think that makes sense.
And it's warmer, too. Florida's a Piscean state. Thank God.
Yes, it is. You're right.
Well, Tish, we're coming to a close, which this has gone really fast, and you made it through. You feeling okay?
Oh, no, I feel great. I hope I was... I hope I made sense, but yes, I feel great.
Yes, you sounded great. You did great. So, Tish, tell people where people can find you if they want to know where their lives are going and what cycles they're in.
Sure. They can find me at astrologertishaiken.com, and it's astrologer, and then I'll spell out my name. It's TISCHAITKEN. And I write a weekly newsletter. They can sign up for it there. And I talk all about the trends. I had a lot going on, so I wasn't able to address this last full moon that we had over the weekend. But I talk about, I write a weekly column, and they get into all the details. So they can use that as a little bit of a roadmap of what's going on, because even if it doesn't, you know, it's not about their chart specifically, they can still see what's hitting us all energetically. And like we said, the Aries energy, you know, right now, they'd be aware of, you know, those dynamics, stuff like that, you know.
Yep, and it's a great newsletter because sometimes I'm like, I got to consult what Tish said. What the hell's going on? Okay. Well, Tish, it was a pleasure having you on. Maybe we'll have you on again when 45 gets out of office, hopefully soon. Anyway.
Listen, thank you so much for having me on. I've had a great time, and I really appreciate it.
Anytime. And I'm Amy Toy, and you can find me at amytoy.com if you want a reading or just a healing. So, and next week, we have another fascinating guest. Have a great night.